Time to delve into the world of tech then with the help of gadget detective Fevzi Turkap. I could have done with you at my house this week, Fevzi, because I have... I've realised I've got TV anxiety, right? In fact, it's not just about TV, it's also about broadband as well. Because I no longer really understand how TV works. You know, it's not just as simple as plugging in a TV, you plug it into the aerial and hey presto, everything works. Now, there are so many different ways of getting TV channels into your home and streaming services. And I finally took the plunge this week and decided to ditch my current TV provider and go for a much cheaper option. And my house has been swimming in HDMI cables. I think I've got about four remote control. I don't know whether I'm coming or going, Fevzi, quite frankly.
So now the sky's the limit, right?
Well, or not, as the case may be.
Exactly.
But either way, honestly, it's mind-blowing. Is that we should do this 1 week and just pick through it all, because there are so many different options these days and so many different ways of collating all of the different providers, going with a stick that's in your TV or going with a provider that provides you with a box. It's really difficult to weigh up the pros
problem.
And cons.
Yeah. And there is no one perfect solution. Back in the day when most streaming services was effectively Netflix and the BBC, effectively, it was simpler. But then what happened is all these different companies that had their content on Netflix set up their own services. So, you know, you had Apple and Amazon and Disney Plus, and obviously, you know, Disney pulled all its stuff off Netflix and, you know, BBC and all of that. And so, you know, you now have to subscribe to a variety of services to get a full package of, you know, everything that you might want to see. And that's kind of unfortunate. And I don't see that situation resolving itself in the near future. We're just going to have to make choices. And the other thing is, you know, you've got to keep your eye on deals, because there's so many deals now where, you know, 3 months free of this and 6 months free of that. And then I got done the other day. I had, 3 months free of Disney Plus. And then 3 months and 1 day. Well, actually, in just under 3 months, they charged me. And then I had to waste half an hour getting them to give me my money back. And my mobile phone company did the same thing to me, and they apologized and they gave me a year's subscription to another service. But it's kind of just time just to maintain these things, and we need simplicity in our lives.
Anyway, it's all kind of done and dusted for the meantime. You'll be relieved to hear until the next time I need to renew some sort of contract or other, and I'll go into a similar level of angst. We're not talking about that this week, though. We're talking about charging, to begin with, using solar cells that can charge in any light. Now, help me with this. What do we mean by that?
Well, so
I don't want you to expire
a confession.
I
ate a rather large chocolate cake just before.
Now it's
sticking in my throat, quite literally. So
I mean, I've spent 20 years in this profession, and as much as I love cake, I know never to eat cake just before I go on air, because you end up in that unfortunate situation. It's called a kind of broadcaster's clag, where you get it stuck in your throat and it's almost impossible to get rid of. Was the cake nice, at least?
It was, yeah.
Good.
Are you familiar with Michael Rosen, Chocolate Cake?
No.
The poem. You should read it. It's fantastic.
Oh, I thought he branched out for a minute into actual chocolate cakes. I was going to say, good grief, is there no end to his talents?
He wrote this beautiful poem about a little boy who snuck down in the middle of the night and ate a whole chocolate cake, and that's still me.
Okay.
So
presumably you didn't consume the whole thing, did you? I mean, when you say it was a rather large chocolate cake, you didn't eat the entire thing.
Do you know, that's virtually a line out of the poem where the mother goes, "You didn't eat it. You didn't eat a whole chocolate cake, did you?" And he says, "I don't know."
I don't know.
Let me put it. She says, "You don't know. You don't know if you ate a whole chocolate cake." Anyway, enough of the arts hour.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. It was a chocolate cake for 20, and I put a fair dent in it.
Oh, you are my kind of man, Fevzi. that's my kind of man. I forget people with a little sparrow-like appetites. Go for pretty much the entire thing. What I didn't do to a Sara Lee chocolate gatto back in the day, but that is a different matter entirely. Shall we talk about technology before this descends into chaos?
Okay. Right, so... background to this: electricity, all energy becoming increasingly expensive. We have ever more gadgets, ever more things we have to plug in every now and then to keep them charged up so they keep us happy. And solar cells have been around for a long time, but they're typically big sheets of glass, heavy, expensive, not practical for small gadgets. Swedish company has come up with this nano ink, which they can actually spray onto surfaces which are as thin as 1.3 millimeter, what they call the substrate, the plastic that goes underneath it. And it has the benefit, as you alluded to, that it can not only turn sunlight into electricity, but any light into electricity, which is important because increasingly we don't see much sunlight, particularly, you know, with COVID and so forth. But also the lighting in our homes tends to be now this low energy LED lighting. So it doesn't produce as much energy as sunlight, but the fact that it's thin and can work with virtually the whole spectrum of light is really important. So what they've done is they've done a few prototypes. So they've put it on the headband of a set of headphones. They've put it on the back of a Bluetooth speaker. And they've also put it on a lady's handbag, you know, on the surface of the bag. And it produces enough electricity to keep those relatively low power devices like, you know, speakers and headsets and so forth going. It doesn't yet produce enough electricity to keep a laptop or a smartphone going, or at least not on its own.
But I
really think it's a step in the right direction. I predict that what we're going to see is it will be incorporated into clothing. And if they can spray it when, you know, people paint the walls in their homes, they will, you know, regather some of the light that hits the wall and is otherwise wasted. It's gonna be fantastic. And
so why would they stick it on the outside of a lady's handbag? I'm just trying to understand what that is to power.
Well, you could potentially charge. You could have a charging port inside.
But not for a phone because it wouldn't work. Basically,
I think it might just about trickle charge a phone. I mean, they're saying it's not ever going to do that. It depends on the size of the panel.
And
with phones, you could do other things. I mean, you know, kinetic action, the movement of the phone. Phones move a lot, right? You could use that. You could use the heat that the phone battery generates and actually recycles that, so recapture the heat from the hand of holding it, but also, you know, the heat that they produce in use. Obviously, you've got diminishing returns. It's not going to be the equivalent of perpetual unlimited energy, but you could, for example, reclaim maybe, you know, 10 or 20% of the energy that a phone outputs, you know, and put it back in. These technologies, I mean, we've kind of worked out how to make things.
Yeah.
On the basis that there's unlimited power and it's free or cheap. But now the challenge is how to create them in a way that's sustainable, that we don't, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, how many trees you chop down and stuff, but the fact that you just capture some of the energy that we're all giving off and just reuse it, you know. So it's not just sunlight coming in, it's the movement. I mean, you've had kinetic watches for decades, you know.
Very
the ones
true,
that,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And you could have that technology, or just, as I say, you know, your phone gets hot to the touch sometimes. Mm. What a waste of heat. Unless you're looking to heat your room, you could do that. So I just think that this kind of clever technology and the idea of spraying on solar cells is fascinating, and I really look forward to, you know, having clothes and jackets and things that will have that sort of energy. And if we develop a way of all these different surfaces then pooling and sharing their energy, then you could power your whole, you know, your whole home with some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The sky is the limit, as they say. Okay, well, Fevzi Turkalp from Gadget Detective is with us going through your tech news this week. Although, to be honest, I've become somewhat consumed at the prospect of this massive chocolate cake that you only finished eating seconds before you came on air. And I haven't finished.
I'm just taking a break.
You're still going? Resume.
No, well, not during, obviously, but I'm looking at it. I'm eyeing it here.
Right.
I would say more it's looking at me saying, come on, if you think you're man enough. So I'm going to.
I have so many supplementary questions, including, is this dessert or is this lunch?
It's just dessert, actually.
Okay.
You're shaming me now. You're going to cake shame me. It's breakfast.
Oh, come on. Actually, I don't know whether that makes me love you even more. I think it might do. I think it actually might do. Anyway,
It's okay. It's quite unnatural because I've caked it, if you'll pardon the pun, in double cream.
Right. I'm not sure that makes it any better. It makes it more appealing. But I suppose there are similarities between double cream and milk, like you'd put milk on cereal.
And the whole thing is biodegradable, so you don't need to worry. It's fine.
Every time we do this slot together, I'm now going to ask what you've had for your lunch, because I sense this is just the tip of the iceberg, but I may be wrong. Anyway.
Well, it's normally a sound check, isn't it? When you're doing sound check, they say, what have you had for breakfast?
No, but I really want to know. What? Yeah, I really want to know this time. Okay. Can
I'll share one more thing with you.
Yeah,
when
go on.
I got to shoot something down at, not an animal, but a film at London Zoo years ago.
Right, yes.
And we got to spend time with the elephants. And the thing that they loved is you would take their trunk and you would exhale into their trunk and they could know what you've eaten. And it was a form of bonding with the elephant.
That is deeply bizarre. Is that true?
No, but no, it's absolutely true. Yeah, they love it. Depends what you've eaten, but yeah.
Don't even know where to go. What an incredible fact. Presumably they weren't harmed in any way by this expelling of your stagnant
air. No, I didn't have halitosis.
Okay, good. Just checking. You see, you learn all sorts of things on BBC Radio Berkshire.
I mean, COVID these days, you wouldn't do it.
No,
now,
definitely not.
Cross-species. No. You know, just imagine if you gave an elephant COVID. You'd feel
Please don't blow into an elephant's trunk or any trunk of any kind anytime soon. That is the health advice that we will leave you with this afternoon. Right, let's talk about smartwatches and rescue this entire segment, please. There's a new smartwatch on the market.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a brand that's been carving out a niche for itself as making sort of high spec but affordable smartwatches. They're called Amazfit, Amazfit. And this model is called the GTR3. Be careful, there are many similarly titled Amazfit watches, including the GTR 3 Pro, which we'll no doubt look at another time.
Why can't they just name them like cars, by the way, and give them
catchier
names?
Well, it does sound
names.
A bit like a car, isn't it, GT?
Well, it does, but fewer consonants and fewer numbers, and then you kind of know where you are with it. You know, I like Vauxhall Cavalier or Austin Maestro. You know, they are names that stick, not all of these consonants and numbers. Suggestion.
I'll take a vowel, please. Okay, right. So it's a smartwatch. First of all, it looks more like a conventional watch in that the face is round. I mean, a lot of watches now, like my one, an Apple Watch, it looks like a little mini tablet on my wrist. Not the tablet that you swallow, but like an iPad. It looks like a mini iPad or iPhone on your wrist, and that's essentially what it is. So this is round, which is kind of nice. It's a 1.39-inch diameter screen. The technology is something called AMOLED, which is very crisp, and clear, and also low energy. It's effectively the best type of screen. And it's got 326 little dots per inch. So you can see that the picture is going to be very crisp and sharp. So even when things are small, text and icons and so forth will be very legible on it. You get a choice of over 100 watch faces, which is really nice because you can just change the face of your watch. It's like you're wearing a different watch every day if that's what you want. You can display different information. You can just make it look like a classic watch with hands and a second hand, and that's good. The display is what's called always on. Now, that may not be a surprise to some people, but a lot of watches, because they need to conserve energy because they've got a small battery and a relatively hungry screen, power-hungry screen, they're not always on. They try to work. You either have to touch a button, touch the screen, or they detect the motion of your wrist when you move it up to look at it. But it's not as good, because even when that works, there's a delay and you're looking at a blank screen and waiting for the screen to come on, which is like a new world problem. Old-fashioned watches, mechanical watches and recent watches were always on.
Yeah.
The display never used to, you know, the watch face never used to disappear, but now it kind of does. But this one doesn't. It's got an always-on display, which is rather good. The main focus of this watch, in addition to telling the time, is sort of health and fitness. And it's got this one-touch health metrics thing where with one tap of the watch, you can measure four things regarding your health. You can measure your heart rate, your blood oxygen level, which is also known as SpO2. That's how much oxygen is in your blood. Your stress level. That would stress me just naming my stress level. And also your breathing rate, the number of breaths you take in a minute.
There's danger that you just become deeply paranoid about your health with all this gadgetry, isn't there?
Do you know, I've been using these gadgets for a while. So there have been occasions where I've had four of them strapped to my wrist because I've been doing experiments with... Yeah. You know, how accurate they are and how consistent the results are across different devices, and surprisingly quite a lot of variation, so it's hard to know sometimes which ones are correct. But I find them kind of useful. You know, there's this concept of biofeedback, which is a posh name for if you can measure something, you can improve upon it. So, you know, if we weigh ourselves, not after chocolate cake, but if we weigh ourselves, we are aware of what we weigh, and then we can slowly improve upon it. You know, if you can measure something, you can improve it. And the fact that I found that these things, you know, using them to measure my sleep, for example, has been made a big change to me in terms of the quality of my sleep, because it doesn't just tell me how long I'm asleep for, not this particular watch, but they can tell you what the quality of your sleep has been. Is it deep sleep? Is it REM sleep, or, you know, dream sleep, or is it light sleep? And the reason why that's important is light sleep is not restorative. You need to be in either deep sleep or REM sleep for your
brain.
How
can you do anything about that? Once you discover your sleeping patterns, what can you do to change
it? You can improve your what they call sleep hygiene, you know, like keeping tablets and electronic devices out of the bedroom. You can try and make your sleep more regular, try and have a regular bedtime. And you can use other things to help you relax, you know, and you can experiment, you know, does it help if I listen to music? Does it help if I keep the music on whilst I'm sleeping? You know, different things that you can try.
Okay.
Just knowing it happens is important. Plus the fact some people have got sleep disorders, you know, there's a thing called sleep apnea where people stop breathing for short periods during the night. And they don't necessarily know, because what happens is if you're in deep sleep and a person with sleep apnea stops breathing, the brain starts waking the person up, but only to that level just below consciousness, which is sufficient to restart the breathing. So if the person sleeps on their own and doesn't have any sort of monitoring devices, they will think that they've slept 8 hours, and they have slept eight hours, but they've been constantly oscillating into low sleep.
Yeah.
And that's linked with things like heart disease and dementia, unfortunately. So knowing this stuff is really quite important, and it's possible, it is possible to become a bit sort of too keen on the data, but it is possible to use it to your benefit.
The other thing, the other
experiment.
The other thing as well that strikes me about this particular watch is that it seems to have quite a long battery life on it.
Yeah. So okay. So we take that with a pinch of salt. They say up to 21 days, and that's true. In that I've never got more than 21 days out of it. I would say a few days, depending on how you use it.
That's quite a big difference.
Yeah, but that is still it really depends on how you use it, right? But that is still so much better than, say, you know, most watches, say an Apple Watch, which you have to charge up in pretty much in every 24-hour period, maybe 36. And the reason why that's important is if you're using a watch to monitor your movements and health during the day, and then you're using it, for example, to monitor your sleep at night, when are you meant to charge it?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's very true. Yes.
I asked, you know, your producer said to me, oh, well, when I'm in the shower. You know, that's true, but, you know, not all of us are as cleanly as your producer.
Well, it depends. How long do you spend in the shower? That's the other question, isn't it? Some people spend 3 minutes. Not good enough.
Yeah, and then you forget. And then I like to have the watch on all the time, because if I'm monitoring my health, I want to know if something funny happens to my heartbeat or my blood pressure shoots up or something like that, be it in the shower or otherwise. So, you know, when you haven't got it on, it's not monitoring you. The way I get around the problem is I've got something called a sleep mat that goes under my mattress that does the nighttime monitoring and doesn't rely on having a watch, so I don't have to wear a watch at night.
Right.
You know, so it sort of works quite well. That's a Withings sleep mat. So let me just finish with this. Up to 21 days, 100 watch faces, 150 sports modes. It's got this really nice, what's it called, like a virtual pacer. So when you're running, it gives you a sort of a virtual person to run against to keep you pace, you know, like they do with professional runners. You get someone just running just in front of you. You can do that. It's water resistant up to about 5 atmospheres. It's got Alexa built in, as long as you've got it bonded to your smartphone or internet, which is nice. But even when you haven't got internet access, it's got basic voice control of the internal features, which is again nice. It links up to satellite navigation, shows your route and so forth. All in all, I like it. It comes in black or moonlight grey.
Okay.
Moonlight grey, reed beige.
That is very much not Moonlight Grey in my book.
It looks beige to me. Although I must admit, I tested the black one. But all in all, I think it's really good. The app is good. The Zepp app, Zepp app that comes with it is good.
Okay,
£149, which is about half to a third of a Apple Watch. For all those reasons above, 4 stars out of 5. Very good.
Okay. Brilliant. I'm now fixated on what your bedroom looks like, because you mentioned that you sleep on a mat.
Under the mattress.
Yes, but equally in my head, I've kind of got your bedroom pictured as the headquarters of a kind of evil villain, just a sort of screen, a bank of screens in front of you. So I started thinking about that as soon as you said, you know, you've got to sleep hygiene and not look at screens. And I was thinking, yeah, but you're the gadget detective. Surely your bedroom is full of screens and other gadgets and gizmos.
I'll just share this with you. I've got this little device from Anchor. It's a mobile projector. It's about the size of a can of fizzy drink. And it projects from the bed up onto the ceiling so I can watch films in bed when I'm lying on my back.
Consuming chocolate cake. I mean, there's no need to move around your house, Febsy,
overnight, really? The chocolate cake is obviously IV. You don't want to be choking.
Through the mat somehow. Unbelievable. Febsy, I know you'll join Bill same time next week. That's Febsy Turkout from GadgetDetective.com. Brilliant.